Thank you, and please be seated. Please be seated, but don't ever stop singing. Sing for the Lord, just as Joe Craig will do this morning.
Still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake. To guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know His voice who ruled them while He dwelt below. In You I rest, in You I found my hope, in You I trust. You never let me go. I place my life within Your hands alone. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on, when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrows forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. In You I rest, in You I found my hope, in You I trust. You never let me go. I place my life within Your hands alone. Be still, my soul. In You I rest, in You I found my hope, in You I trust. You never let me go. I place my life within Your hands alone. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul.
Thank you, Joe. If you'd like a recording of that, you can just go to our website. It's archived there. It should be. Or to our Facebook page if you want to hear that again. That was good. Wow, the message was just amazing. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles out, please, and turning them to Proverbs chapter number 28 is where we will be at today. Proverbs chapter number 28. Now, what you see on the screen there, Proverbs 29:18, that is the passage I'll be preaching from next week, okay? Don't want any confusion there. But we're going to be in Proverbs 28 and verse 13. Give you a second to get there. All right. Yes, they're laughing upstairs. They realize, oops. Okay, but Proverbs 29:18, that is for next week. Let's read together Proverbs 28:13. Would you read with me, please, as I read? Let's begin together. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. Now, folks, it says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. And then it has a little colon. So what comes after that is based on what we just saw there in Ephesians. I'll read it again. For ye were sometimes darkness. Ye were darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. And then it says, walk as children of light. We were dark. We're now light in the Lord, so they're saying, would you just walk like your children of light? Because that's what we are in the Lord. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, God, thank you. Thank you for the music today, the message of the music that we've heard and that we've sung. God, I pray that it did a work in our hearts even before we get to your word here today. But now here we are, entering your word. Lord, this is sacred ground. God, help us to respect and honor you by giving our full attention to your words this morning. Full attention to the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's trying to talk to us about. God, I pray that we would be submissive to your Spirit today. In Jesus' name. Amen. So based on what we had just read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, that was the reference, God made man to walk in light, okay, to live in light. That's how he made man. Adam and Eve, they were created to walk in light. As God is light, they were created to do the same thing. And if we're familiar with the creation account and what comes right after that, we know that Adam and Eve, they walked with God daily in the garden. They were able to have that sweet connection and fellowship with God because they were walking in light. But the moment they sinned, the moment they disobeyed God, the moment they said, no, I don't want what God wants, I want what I want, that moment, fear, shame, darkness, and death followed as soon as they did that. The theme of the Bible from that point moving forward has been man's restoration. God's perfect creation, the only part of creation that he gave his image to, the image of God was created in man. That only part of his creation rebelled against him, and now they walk in darkness. And so the rest of God's word that he gives us is about restoring man back to where God created them to be. He created us to be in the light, in fellowship with Him. Our sin ruined that. And we could also read in 1 John that His desire is that we once again be in the light so that we can have fellowship with Him. This law that we're looking at today, the law of transparency, teaches us three things, and it's all about us being in the light and back in fellowship with God. The first thing that it teaches us is the foolishness of deceitfulness. Okay, our proverb tells us that if we cover our sin, we will not prosper. Remember, too, the heart is deceitful. How many of you, okay, you look across America, look across the world, look across the culture, look across media and what we read and see and hear in the media, and all of the bad that's going on. There are some wicked, vile people in this world, isn't there? Absolutely. How many of you would say you are a wicked and vile person? And I don't mean just because your phone rang in church, okay? I'm sorry, I have to do that when a phone goes off. Mine's in my coat pocket. I hope it's on vibrate or something. You know, the problem is I'm always fearing it, when I turn it completely off, I forget to turn it back on until in the evening time. And then I've got six people that are angry because I didn't get back to them. You know, so I put it on vibrate. And my fear is when it starts to vibrate, this is going to pick it up. And you're going to think, wow, do you hear that energy coming off of Pastor right now? Woo! Oh, he's in the spirit right now. Anyway, wow, where was I? Okay. Our heart is deceitful, okay? And we look across this world and we see vile, wicked people. How many of you, back to my question, how many of you would say you are a vile, wicked person too? Just a few of us, but yet God's word says you are. In fact, you are so vile and wicked, so am I, that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. That's what we are in God's sight. That's what we are according to the Bible. But yet what I just did here, and don't feel bad because we... Okay, those that raised their hand, they gave me the Sunday school answer. They knew what they were supposed to say, right? But isn't it true that most of us, when we look at the vileness around us, we compare ourselves to it and say, well, I'm not that vile and wicked. Our pride makes us that vile and wicked. That's what we are in God's sight. Why is it we think that we're not vile and wicked? Because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. The heart is deceitful. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked, wicked and vile. That's us. But because our heart is deceitful, we don't even realize that we're vile and wicked in our sinful nature. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 tells us that if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. Here's what that verse is saying. Every one of us has the propensity to sin. We could say, yes, I agree to that. And we also have the propensity to cover it up. So how do we cover up our sin? Okay, it's more than just, you know, burying the body in your backyard. Okay, we're not talking about that. Hopefully you haven't done that. Okay. How do we cover our sin? Let's talk about how we practice this deceitfulness, okay? There are various ways that we do that. It's more than just denying wrongdoing. Like, parents, okay, when you ask your child, did you do this? No, okay. Or I liked it. One year in Bible school, I had this child come back. They thought they wanted to be saved. Thought they wanted to go to heaven, okay? And so I asked them, I said, have you ever sinned? They said, no, but my brother has. You know, threw their brother under the bus of all things, right? 1 John 1:8 tells us, if we say we have no sin, the truth isn't in us. Every one of us has the propensity to sin and cover it up. And we do this in more ways than just denying the wrongdoing. But see, covering up also includes excusing our sin. We have sinned. God sees it as sin. But we try to excuse it with each other, don't we? So that it's not so bad. Well, you did this. Well, that's not what I meant. I know I cussed you out 17 different ways, but I didn't mean it. Like that would ever happen. I was just, how about this one? I was just joking. Now, we might have been joking, and I'm not saying that we can never joke, but I'm talking about when we do say something and we weren't intending to be joking, and then afterwards we say, oh, I was just joking, after we've hurt someone perhaps. I was just joking. We're excusing our sin. We're trying to cover it up. Ananias and Sapphira, they did this. You remember in the New Testament, they sold some property. They brought the money to the Lord. Like, say they sold it for $1,000, whatever the amount is. The Bible doesn't say. And they give $500 to the Lord. It doesn't say how much they gave. But they said, we sold our property. Here's the proceeds. And they gave the impression that they were giving all of it when they weren't. Now, did they think they were lying? Who would intentionally lie about something like that? But perhaps what they were thinking was some of it, giving some of it was good. That outweighs the other part of it. And we do that in our minds. We excuse, we cover up, we lessen the sin when we try to sprinkle some good on it. Then there are those as well, like in Paul's day, that thought they could just continue in sin. They could just sin and sin and sin. We're saved. We got our ticket. We're going to heaven when we die. I can just continue to sin because of grace. God's going to forgive me. He promised in his word. So I can just do whatever I want and God will forgive me. Paul set them straight, actually. He said, God forbid. That's what he says in the Bible. He was saying, never in a million years. It doesn't work that way. God never forgives when it isn't confessed. God doesn't forgive our sins if we haven't confessed it. Has God forgiven all sins? Absolutely. In that general theological sense, forgiveness for all sins is there. There's not a sin we can commit that God won't forgive. If that is true, if we take it just in that general sense, okay, all sins are forgiven, God is love, he died on the cross for everybody for all sins, therefore we're all going to heaven, right? But we know that's not true. The person needs to come to the cross and then do what? Repent. Which includes confess our sins. At that point, God then gives us the forgiveness that our sins needs. Until then, we are in an unforgiven state. And how foolish is that? Forgiveness is there. It's like standing outside of your house in the middle of the winter in your pajamas and it's 2 below 0. And right inside the door is a coat, but you don't go get it. It doesn't make any sense. And so here we are, God's grace is available, God's forgiveness is available, but he doesn't forgive what isn't confessed and what isn't forsaken. Some people just enjoy their sin. Can you imagine that, enjoying sin? Who would enjoy sin? and every one of us in here. You got a problem with your tongue? You know why? You enjoy being the one to give that first juicy bit of gossip. It feels good to speak negatively about someone else because it makes us feel better. Doesn't it? We enjoy sin. We enjoy sin. We enjoy our sin. Hebrews speaks about, in fact, giving truth to this, it speaks about the passing pleasures of sin. Eve, she took that fruit in the garden. Why? Because it was pleasing to her. It looked good. And yet, there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, the Bible tells us. There's a danger when we live with this deceitfulness. Whatever the outward appearances seems to be, the person is headed for serious trouble. Why? Because God hates hypocrisy. And this is a life without forgiveness. The person that's covering, excusing, minimizing, not dealing with it. It's a hypocritical life, but it's also you are living a life without God's forgiveness. Day after day after day, you don't have God's forgiveness. And keep this truth in mind, what Jesus tells us in the New Testament. If we regard iniquity in our heart, what does it say after that? God will not hear us. So that sin, and we covered this in Sunday school a little bit this morning, that sin that you maybe committed last week, okay? Some of you maybe haven't committed a sin in 6 years, whatever, okay? I don't know. That sin that we felt justified for because of what they did to us. I was justified in doing, I'm justified in not forgiving them. I'm justified in what I said last week. What I said last week, yesterday, a month ago, it was no big deal. We glossed over it. We whitewashed it. We covered it up. Since that sin occurred, since that sin is unconfessed, we have been regarding sin in our heart. Every prayer that we have uttered since that time, God has not heard. That's what Jesus told us. If we regard iniquity in our heart, he will not hear us. I wonder, and I shared this with my class this morning. I wonder how many sins or how many prayers I have said that haven't even left the room I was in. Perhaps countless for all of us. God only forgives the repentant. We spent some time several months ago dealing with that idea of repentance. Repentance is impossible without an admission of guilt. How can you repent of something if you are still covering for it, excusing it, or minimizing it? If you're excusing it, minimizing it, covering for it, not willing to admit it, then how are you ever going to change from doing that, right? If you're not going to change, that's the exact opposite of repentance. Repentance is a change. David discovered himself, the longer he hid his sin, the more agony that he had endured. Psalm 51 is just this intense poetic portrayal from David about the sin with Bathsheba. So hiding it is not the answer. What do we do with it? Well, we have a church Facebook page, okay? And you can confess that as a post on the, no, don't do that. Listen, we're all laughing about this, okay? And I say that jokingly, but intentionally, because some people get the wrong idea. And we're going to cover that in just a moment with something that another pastor had told me about. Some pastors are afraid to teach or preach on this because of the side effects that may happen from it, the consequences, collateral damage that may come from this. So what do we do with our sin? Here's our duty, okay? Number two, our duty. Proverbs tells us, whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. Confess and, what does it say? Forsake, we shall have mercy. This is God's prescription for dealing with this. In Psalm 51, David did that. David did that, and he received forgiveness and mercy from God. So first, our sin has to be admitted. John makes it so clear in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins one to another, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means we should tell God about our sin. Would that be awkward? I mean, it's like going to your parents and having to fess up that the reason you were late last night wasn't really because a train, you know. Ooh, here's the difference, though. God already knows. We're not telling him something he doesn't already know. Kind of like our parents already knew. Oh, I remember my first ticket I got. I was like 6 miles outside of town coming home from work, the farm I worked on when I was in high school. I got pulled over. And I kid you not, honestly, I was speeding because I was trying to get home. It was Wednesday. I was trying to get home so I could get cleaned up so I could go to church. That makes it all better, doesn't it? And so I got my nice little signed paper from the police officer and drove the rest of the miles back into home, into my house, pulled in the driveway. My dad's sitting on the porch. Nice summer evening, you know? And I get out of the car like nothing's wrong, and I'm thinking, oh, no, I could feel the paper. It was in my pocket. Like, oh, x-ray vision. He's going to see it. He's going to see it. So I, no. I was good. I got a cover. So I get out of the car. I'm like, hey, Dad. Walk up the steps. He said, Gerald. I said, yeah. Give me your license. He knew. He already knew. I know we lived in a small town, but that's ridiculous. Someone from church happened to pass me on the road. And they had to go tell my daddy. Really? They didn't have cell phones, okay, back in the day. They literally had to drive to my house, get out, and go talk to my dad. Ugh. I have forgiven them, though, okay? So, our duty as far as admitting our sin means telling God about our sin, naming it. Don't whitewash it, minimize it, name it for what it is. What does God say about what you did? What does he call it? Nothing should be covered up. So, we should also trust. Trust because God is faithful, that verse tells us in 1 John 1:9. He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. This confession could also be social. James 5:16, it does say, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay, now we come back to what I had alluded to earlier, why some pastors are afraid to preach on this kind of thing. Some have had bad experiences. They preached about confessing your faults one to another and just really laid out scripture, okay? That's what we need to do. If you sinned against someone, you need to go and confess that to them. And after the service was over with, this pastor told me, he had a guy walk up to another man's wife and ask her forgiveness for having lustful thoughts for her. Oh, that went over well in the church. So what do we do? Private sins, you deal with God. If you have offended someone in this church, they know you've offended them, you need to go to them and make it right. Forget trying to analyze, well, they did this first, and just go and make it right. Well, I think I tried once before. No, God said if you know that there is something between you and someone else, don't put your money in the offering plate. Don't sing me any songs. You go to that person and you make it right before you come and worship me. But yet, we know, don't we? I think probably in every church, there are longstanding grudges that have, they figured out a peace treaty where they just draw their lines, keep their place, maintain their boundaries, and everyone gets along. That is wrong. That's covering sin. God said, don't worship me until you take care of that. Confess your faults one to another, it says. And then, here's one of the one another's in the New Testament. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. Private sins, dealt with privately, but when we have sinned against other people, God says it needs to be dealt with other people. Until we put relationships right between ourselves and our brother, we can never expect God to hear or bless us. Because if a man regards iniquity in his heart, God will not hear him. Matthew 6, verse 14, it says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And there we go. We're not walking in the light anymore. We're walking in darkness because our sins are not forgiven. It is just as if we weren't saved at all. Why? Because we haven't forgiven someone who has trespassed against us. I know sometimes that's hard. I think I've lived long enough where I've experienced some of those hard things that we have to forgive. And it's difficult. But unless we want to be like an unsaved person walking in darkness without God's blessing, we need to forgive men their trespasses. Now, after sin is admitted, now we have to abandon it. It has to be abandoned, walked away from, left. It says, whoever confesses, in 1 John 1:9, whoever confesses and forsakes his sin. True confession is accompanied with repentance, a turning away from. So what's the result of doing that? If we do all that, what is the result? I know some are thinking, wow, that's going to really, I might lose social standing. That will be hard. That would be embarrassing. I don't know what you might be thinking. So what's the result for doing that? Here it is, deliverance. Deliverance. It doesn't matter anything else. We will be delivered. Proverbs chapter 28, again, our proverb, it says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. As long as we are covering our sin, we are losing prosper. Whatever prosper is, we're not getting it. In that mercy, mentioned there in our proverb, in that mercy is deliverance. Deliverance that only God can provide. It comes to us in three ways. First, it comes to us through the Father, the Father's pardon. Isaiah 55 and verse 7, it says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. I'm going to go back to the beginning parts of that verse. Let the wicked forsake his way. Forsake it. That means not just say, forgive me for my sins. It is, God, I have sinned. Forgive me and get away from it. Otherwise, it's like, I think sometimes we maybe approached God this way. Father, forgive me for I have sinned. Kind of like going to our spouse and saying, spouse, forgive me. I have been unfaithful to you. Now, I got a date. I got to go. Maybe we approach God that way sometimes with our sin. We don't really forsake it. We go through the motions of confession, but there's no forsaking of it. Let the wicked forsake his way. Oh, and the unrighteous man his thought. Let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy. Because of what Christ did on the cross, God can have mercy on us and abundantly pardon those who confess and forsake. That word pardon, that's amazing. It's not forgive. It's more than just forgive. I no longer hold you accountable for this. Pardon, in our court system, a pardon is what? It's not an acquittal. It is as if this never took place. It's not even on the record anymore. Now, you can go to like judici.com, okay, and type in someone's name and see how many speeding tickets they've gotten or other infractions of the law would be listed there. If they were pardoned, it wouldn't be there. It's gone. That's what God does when we come to him because of what Christ did on the cross. God is able to pardon those who confess and forsake. There is a way, a process of deliverance. We can be clean before a holy God. We can be, as we sang earlier, complete in thee. What a thought that is, right? And there's only one way. It is through Christ. Because he was clean when he went to the cross. His sacrifice was clean. Ours is not clean. Without God's pardon, we are sinners trying to clean ourselves. Now imagine the futility of that. If you've been painting, okay, or working on the car, or working in a garden, your hands are dirty. Grease, dirt, paint, whatever it is. And you've got something on your face, a smudge on your face. So you reach up with your dirty hand and you wipe your face. Oh, that's going to work, right? When I was working on the farm, you had to be very careful about that. Okay? Especially like during milking time, because you always had stuff on your hands at different times. And yeah, a hose handy so you could spray your hand off real quick before you touched your face. But that's what we're like with dirty hands trying to clean ourselves. It's kind of like trying to clean a window with a dirty rag. You're not going to clean it. You're just smearing more dirt around on it. It just doesn't work. A little boy was trying to explain one time what people do when they go to church. Now, he understood the matter. It was his pronunciation, which was a little off. He meant to say, we go to church to worship. But what he said was, we go to church to wash up. He was absolutely correct. Yeah. Sometimes the church gets labeled as, well, that place is just full of hypocrites. Because I know what this person does during the week. We all do, okay? And we come to church to get washed up. It's not I've heard this before. It's not a sanctuary for saints because there ain't no saints in here. It is a hospital for sinners who need mending after a week of being attacked by Satan. And we need to come back and restore our fellowship with God and our fellowship with each other. We go to church to find cleansing the cleansing of God's grace, His reassurance of His love for us, even though we may have had a miserable failure of a week. We go to hear the news that never gets old and is always good news, and that is Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, that's me. So we get the Father's pardon, but here's what else we get: the Savior's presence. It is true. Let me just say this right now before your wheels start turning and you think of an objection. It is true, Christ never leaves nor forsake us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This presence is referring to fellowship. The presence of Christ, the Savior's presence. I'm talking about fellowship here. To know that unhindered closeness and constant fellowship is to walk unhindered, unclothed by sin. This is what confession to God brings us back into fellowship. Come on, you remember when you were younger and you were out of fellowship with your parents, okay? There was something there and you knew what it was. Fellowship was hindered until that thing got brought to the light and dealt with, didn't it? Yeah. And it's the same with God. To have the ungrieved, unquenched Holy Spirit filling our hearts, giving us joy, that's the presence. That's the fellowship that we get through Christ when we deal with our sins as He tells us to. I have to wonder sometimes, I really do, I have to wonder sometimes why some people, okay, don't look at anyone, because of course no one here is like that. Why some people never seem to be happy? I have to wonder about that. They never seem to exude any kind of joy whatsoever. Remember, the ungrieved, unquenched Holy Spirit giving us joy in our hearts, because that's what the Spirit does if He's ungrieved and unquenched. If there's sin in our life, He's grieved and quenched, and He's not giving us joy. I have to wonder why some people never seem to be happy. They're always grumpy. Always negative. What? Always grumpy. Well, that's just my personality. Oh, trying to cover it up. Always seem to be negative. Well, that's just the way it is. I can't help myself. Covering it up goes back to our proverb. When I was, I'm going to try to illustrate the Holy Spirit with a farm illustration. Okay, you ready? This one's cleaner than the last one. When I was in junior high, I began working on a dairy farm. And as a junior hire, they really didn't let me drive $200,000 tractors. I thought, oh, this is so cool. I could just see myself up there, you know, this little kid, pimples all over his face, driving a tractor. Oh, yeah. I had dreams about me in the little town parade, driving a tractor. Yeah. Everyone's going to see me. I'll be the big man, you know. So I show up at this farmer's house. This guy in my church had a dairy farm. I show up at his house. He says, yeah, he's going to hire me. So I show up, and it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, and he hands me a bucket. And no, it's not a pitchfork. I told you this one's cleaner, okay? But I had to feed the calves. So he showed me how to, where the powder milk mixed was, and I had to scoop it in the bucket and mix up the milk for the calves, and then I had to carry the bucket to the barn where the calves were at, okay? Now, it makes sense to me to put the water in the barn where the calves are at, but no, we have to have the water spigot separated from where the calves are at. So I got to carry this 5-gallon bucket. Remember, I'm a little junior high kid. Not like I am today. You know, I was a skinny little kid, and I'm like, trying to get this bucket over to the calf barn. And so I realized, oh, I know, I won't fill it full. I'll make more than one trip. Well, that really stunk, you know. So I'm like, okay, I'm doing this all at once. So I fill that thing all the way up. And after a while, my muscles developed. I could hold that thing with two hands. And I'm just walking along. And guess what happens as I'm walking? That milk starts moving around and it's sloshing out all over. And I'm covered with milk. It got all over me. Now, picture that. And let's go back to God's word. If we are filled with the Spirit, if we are filled with the joy of the Lord, it'll be sloshing out all over the place and getting on everybody. So why aren't you happy? Why are you always negative? Why are you always saying negative things about people? Why do you not have the joy of the Lord so much that it's just sloshing out, getting all over everybody? What is it that's keeping the Holy Spirit from spilling that joy all over your life? What is it? Well, we can just back up our steps here this morning, but I think you get the picture. This is what's meant by walking in the light, as we started with. Unhindered closeness with our Savior, like Adam and Eve in the garden. We get the Father's pardon. We get the Savior's presence, His fellowship. But here's the third thing. We also get the Spirit's power. Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. There's the Spirit now coming into this as well. One of the great things about the Christian life is that the power of the Holy Spirit becomes more and more evident. By the way, it's already there as Christians. Our sin quenches it. So it becomes more and more evident as we grow in the knowledge of our Savior. As we do this thing that we're looking at, the power of the Holy Spirit, which is already there, it's just quenched, it becomes more and more evident. We understand, folks, that when we sin, that power is nullified. That's why Paul exhorted the Ephesians. He said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. No fellowship. He then adds an illustration after he said that. In Ephesians, he said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of righteousness. And then he says, he tells us to not be drunk with wine, wherein is with excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay? So let's take all of that in context. Don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Instead, he said, just like wine controls a person, let the Holy Spirit have control. Only when we walk in light can we be filled with the Spirit. And only when we are filled with the Spirit can we know His power in our lives. It's this chain reaction that takes place. If none of that is happening in our life right now, let's back up through the chain and see where we got off track at. It may bring us right back to our proverb. Remember what I said at the beginning? God created man to walk in light. Hiding, covering, excusing, minimizing our sin prevents that. Confession to God opens the door to receiving God's forgiveness, Christ's presence, and the Holy Spirit's power. Do you have that in your life right now? Right now. Let's bow our heads, please. God in heaven, Lord, we need this. All three of those things in our life right now. God, perhaps there's someone in here this morning that needs to come to You as an unbeliever to become Your child, to receive your forgiveness in their life. No, they're not as bad as other people are. Perhaps by comparison, none of us in this room really are. But you don't rate us that way. Sin is sin is sin is sin. And it's our deceitful hearts that tell us we're not that bad. God will probably let me in. And yet your word is so clear. We're deceived. We know your word and we ignore it sometimes. God, we need to come to you in humility and confession to you and ask your forgiveness for sins. God, I pray that everyone in here would have done that already in their life, but perhaps there's someone here that if they were to die today because they're not in fellowship with you, they've never been one of your children, they wouldn't spend eternity in heaven. And yet, you've brought them here today, God, so they could get that matter settled. Lord, we're all sinners in here. God, I pray your Spirit would work in our hearts right now. What is it that we need to bring to you and leave with you, forsake it, and walk away from it? Oh, that you would be honored and glorified by our obedience to this truth here today. In Jesus' name, amen.